Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. If I was practiced up, I'd go to the piano and do it, but I'm not practiced up, and I hit too many. Pastor Judy always tells me I need to stay practiced. I have a piano at home, but, you know, going back to 40 years, that's all y'all had was me on the piano leading worship, and Pastor Judy on her tambourine. How many of you know she can play a mean tambourine? It was a dual team. She played the tambourine, and I did the piano and did worship. Then Linda came along and helped us out with the keyboard, and then we had gifted people come in, and so I didn't have to do it anymore. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We used to have camp meetings, and I'd be the only on the keyboard all night long. But hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? 40 years of God's faithfulness. And I think back, I was listening to Andrew Womack the other day, and he was talking about all the steps that through his lifetime that led him to where he is now with the Bible College and building, doing great things for God. But it didn't start out that way for him. And you know what? It takes just, you know, a step at a time. Step of a good man are ordered by God to bring you. And different things, different moves that we've made, we'll be talking to you about those things. God was in it all. Amen? And sometimes, you know, because of the pressures and stuff, we could have been maybe farther along than we are now, but God is so faithful. How many of you think that you could have been farther along now? Don't point your finger at us and say, you know, you can. Amen. If we would have just been obedient and not walk in fear and allow the enemy to come in. But we're all learning faith. Amen? Amen? And authority. So that's so important. Hallelujah. So discovering God's best in times of trouble. We're going to continue that this week. We're going to go back to Psalms chapter 27, verses 1 through 14. Glory to God. And I want to bring out some things again, some directions for us. We're going to skip around a little bit as I want to get through. Last week we didn't get through this message. But discovering God's best in times of trouble. You know, God, and we've talked about this, you know, over and over again. God has a plan. He has a purpose for your life. And God will bring it to pass. Amen? He will cause it to manifest in our lives. But a lot of times growth, comes in the midst of troubling times. You know, because sometimes when everything is just going great, that we get off our faith walk, we're not diligent like we should be, and so we just kind of take a like the Australians say, a holiday. Okay, from, you know, God doesn't sleep nor slumber, but either does the devil. He's working 24 hours a day to bring you down, to steal, kill, and destroy all that God has purposed for our lives. So we have to realize that there are some steps that we need to take during turbulent times, whether it's a family issue or health crisis that you're facing, financial things, or, you know, just this world, the whole world right now. We can point at the United States, but it's a world thing that, you know, there needs to be an awakening, and I believe that we're entering into one for people to wake up to God and his righteousness and his goodness. But during these troubled times is an opportunity for us to see the goodness of God. Amen? The goodness of God, no matter what we're going through. It could be a nightmare that you're going through, but God is a good God, and he wants to reveal himself to you. And one thing I want to share is that, and this has been on my heart a lot about sin conscience, because if you're constantly dealing with guilt and condemnation, that you're not going to have confidence toward God. And that's a subject altogether. There's a scripture that talks about that. If our heart condemns us, we don't have confidence toward God, but God is bigger than our heart. Amen? And there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So what you don't want to do during a time of crisis and turbulent times is give in to self-condemning. I'm not good enough. I missed it some point in my life. And you're just wallowing in that quicksand. It's quicksand. And the more you try to jiggle out of it, the deeper you go. And God wants you to be free. God wants your thoughts to be free. Amen? And so many of us have, we've made mistakes. Some more than others, and some more, just anything, you know. We condemn ourselves. Oh, God, if I would have only done this, if I would have not done that, if I would have just forget all of that. God wants to turn it around. Amen. He's a God of a breakthrough. Hallelujah. So the psalmist David is a great person to learn from. And so here it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Now, these are two things, and he was Old Covenant. Of course, we have a lot of promises. You need to spend some time in chapters 1, 2, and 3 in the book of Ephesians. And, you know, the first part of the book of Ephesians deals with who we are in Christ, what we can do, the authority that we have, and the grace that's been provided. It's powerful just to meditate on those first three chapters, because you move into the end of it, and it talks about love, treating your wife right, and all that kind of stuff. But I like to say this, the first three chapters of Ephesians empowers you with grace so you can do those things that the last three chapters deal with. Amen? It's walking out your salvation and living like you're supposed to live, because you are not on your own. You're not on your own, you know, goodness or anything. It's all God. Say it's all God. Hallelujah. So David had a glimpse of this. He had a small revelation of this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Say that with me. The Lord is the strength of my life. How many of you go through the day once in a while looking for strength? All right? It's not in a pill bottle. All right? It's not in taking your vegetable pills. The Lord is the strength of my life. Amen? Give voice to that. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, so they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, that means we're going to have times of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me, and he shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above all of my enemies that are all around me. And we talked about this next portion of scripture. Therefore, I will offer the sacrifice of joy. So the quickest way for you to grow and get out of that turbulence that you're in. I was watching the other day of, I think Fox News, one of the people there, a lady, had flown with the Air Force in their big plane into the eye of the hurricane, and all the turbulence, and she was talking about the feeling and the fear. Could you imagine flying a plane into that hurricane like that and go through the turbulence? But sometimes our life feels like that there's no way out. Just, this is it. This is the end. But with God, it's just the beginning. Because if he can get your attention, amen, hallelujah, if he can get you just to turn your attitude around just a little bit, just a little bit. Just give them something to work with. And here, David said, it's a sacrifice. A sacrifice of joy. Amen. So when we have a tendency to get over into depression and feeling, it's all feelings, it's all in our senses. But we are a spirit man. Our spirit is renewed. That's a part of us is born again. But a lot of times we allow our flesh to tell us and our soul to tell us how we feel. But oftentimes David said, hey, head, you're going to lift up. Hey, you're going to praise God. Praise the Lord. He commanded himself what to do instead of us just, you know, going deeper and deeper and deeper into depression, deeper into oppression. You know, David said, therefore, he's talking about in the midst of trouble when the enemy's coming against him, therefore I will offer the sacrifice of joy in his tabernacle. The last thing you want to do is sing. Unless you're a country singer and you know how they go. Amen. You lose your wife, you lose your house, you lose your dog, you know, whatever. Amen. It was that group that wrote the song, what do you get when you sing a country song backwards? You get everything back. Get your dog back, get your cat back, get, hallelujah. Well, see, the church has been singing the wrong song. You know, one great man of God wrote a song, I don't sing those songs anymore. What songs are, what do you sing? Songs of victory. Songs of joy. Hallelujah. And we sing a lot of them around here. You need to start singing them at home. Praise God. Amen. In the midst of your battle, I will sing. It's a sacrifice of joy. I will sing praises to the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. So that's how David remedied himself when he felt like he was being consumed and pressed in by the things around him. Amen. He would offer the sacrifice of praise, offer the sacrifice of joy. Verse 13, go down to that, said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I should see the goodness of God. Now I want to talk about that word believe there because it's so important. And you'll find out that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, one of the biggest things that Jesus had against his 12 disciples was that he would say over and over again, oh, ye of little faith. And here they were hanging out with Jesus. Can you imagine that? They'd seen the miracles. They'd seen people raised from the dead. They'd seen the blind eyes healed, ears open, just you name it. Paralyzed people would begin to you know, that woman that was bowed over with a spirit of infirmity, seeing her just straighten up and just miracle after miracle after miracle, but yet they still was limited in faith. They would not believe. So I want to give you an assignment that we need to work on our faith. We told you a couple weeks ago that when we were away, the Lord said, teach my people faith. We've got to have faith. We've got to believe God is in the midst of our... And David said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed. See, I'm a believer. I'm going to believe the word of God. Amen? And it's easy when you're going through things to look at scriptures, all right, and say, well, you know, it worked for that person, but I don't know if it works all the time, or you try to explain God away or make excuses for this not happening in our lives or that. We need to get to the point where if it's in the Bible, I believe it and it's so. Amen? Amen. If it's in the Word, I believe it, and that settles it. God's Word is final authority. I don't care if I've ever seen anybody move. Jesus said it, and I believe it, and all things are possible. What does that mean when he said that? All things are possible to them that believe. Woo! David said, I would have lost heart, and that's where some of you have been. You've lost heart to fight. I'm the fight in you. What can we do about that? We got to stir ourselves up. We're waiting for God to stir us up. You know the story about David and Ziklag, right? How the enemy had come in and took their families, took their possessions. Him and his men came back and everything was gone. And the Bible says that they lost heart. And when you lose heart, you do stupid things. Even David was beginning to feel that because even his men that was around him began to turn on him and they were getting ready to beat him up because of what had happened because he was the leader. It's funny how the leaders always get attacked, right? It's always our fault. No, just kidding, amen. But it's true. They were ready, and David just, He's beside himself. He lost his family. He'd like, and not only that, the pressure of all of the men's family, all that were taken by the enemy. But the Bible says there that David stirred himself up. David stirred himself up. Sometimes we've got to stir ourselves up. And how did he do it? Offered the sacrifice of joy. Offered the sacrifice of praise. Oh, everything's collapsing around me, but I'm not going to receive it in Jesus' name. I'm going to praise God because he is my deliverer. He's my healer. He's my provider. Hallelujah. He's El Shaddai. He's more than enough. And if Jesus said all things are possible to them that believe, well, bless God, I'm going to believe. David said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, David could have lost heart many times. He had to run from King Saul, his son Absalom. Read about David's life. But every time when he talked into the Psalms, when he talked about an enemy that was overwhelming him, he'd always turn around. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hallelujah. He talked himself out of defeat into victory, and you can do the same thing. Yes. Amen. Don't call all the, you know, don't get on the phone. Call all the people that agree how bad things are. Get a hold of somebody that can grab you by your shirt collar and jerk you out of that condition. Don't talk that way anymore. Hallelujah. Stop saying that. Stop saying that. Hallelujah. You guys really pull it out of me. Didn't you come to the second service? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know what I'm saying? You've been through it. You've been through the battle. The thing is, we've all been through battles in the past. And we're here today. Amen. We made it through. We made it. That's why God told the children of Israel to build a memorial. Every time they seen the goodness of God, they built a memorial so they could look back at the memorial and say, God, look at what God did. If he did it once, he can do it again. Hallelujah. He can do it again. He healed me once, he can heal me again. Hallelujah. He provided for me once. He paid my rent once. Why did you settle for paying and buy a new house? Come to the seminar they're having. Hallelujah. Well, you know, some of you say, I don't know if I could ever buy a house. Stop thinking like that and shut up. Start saying you can. God will, you know, God's bigger. What did we start out the year with? Ephesians what? 3:20. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. My question to you is, where's your thinking? Where is your thinking been? Have you been caught up in inflation news? Have you been caught up in this or caught up in politics? Caught up in all of that's important to know, but it cannot control your life. Your life has to be controlled by the word of the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Now, verse 14, he ends up, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. And we talked about that word wait. It's not just sitting back in your easy chair and just waiting for something to happen. Waiting is occupying. Waiting is encouraging yourself in the Lord. Waiting is praising the Lord in the midst of trouble. Amen. Offering the sacrifice of joy. Hebrews 13:15, by him therefore offer the sacrifice of praise continually. Amen. Hallelujah. Continually. Say continually. The thing about it, God will never disappoint us. If we will just do our part, just a little bit. I'm not saying that you've got to be perfect. Just attempt it. Just change one of your confessions. Amen. Hallelujah. God's not waiting for you to be perfect, or you wouldn't be born again. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. Amen. He's not waiting for you to get perfect before he healed. In fact, he's already healed you. Hallelujah. Then I was thinking about the other day, thinking about healing, receiving healing. God wants you to know that you're already healed. You've got to receive that fact. I am already the healed of the Lord. I'm not going to be, I'm healed. That has to be settled in your heart. Hallelujah. Praise God. So what the enemy will do through troubles is try to get your focus off of seeking God and his purpose for you. He'll try to move you off. And amen. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Message Bible, 8 through 11. Keep a cool head and stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce. That tells us something, right? And would like nothing better than to catch you napping. I mentioned that last week. Catch us napping. What does that mean? Just que sera sera, whatever will be, will be. I'm just going to, you know, whatever comes my way, I bless God, I'll just ride it out. I'll just ride out the storm. Glory to God. No, you've got to stand against it. You got to stand against it. How do you stand against it? Not on your own strength. Be strong in the Lord and his might. Not in your own strength. Not in your own power. Amen. Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. He can't keep us napping. Keep your guard up. You're not the only ones plunged into these hard times. It's the same with Christians all over the world, so keep a firm grip on faith. You've got to keep a firm. What does that mean? Keep a firm grip on the Word. Keep a firm grip on the Word. What does the Word say about your health? What does the Word say about things that are going on around you? What does the Bible say? We used to sing that song, the Bible. Yes, it's a book for me. I'll stand upon the Word of God. The Bible. Amen? It's time to put that to practice. I'll stand upon the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, the suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before the generous God, who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, will have you all put together and on your feet for good, because he gets the last word. Come on, that should make you shout right there. He gets the last word. My God, it's not the devil that gets the last word. It's my God that gets the last word. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I don't know what you're going through, what you're facing, family, health, finances, whatever, but God will never disappoint you. He will never let you down. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it's a powerful chapter. And it talks about what we have, who we are. And that's why I like the writings of Paul to the church. I love Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I like Psalms. I like, you know, David gives us some practical insights. Solomon gives us some practical insights in Proverbs. Of course, the words of Jesus is powerful. But the Apostle Paul received revelation of all that, you know. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus went to the cross. He died for our sins. He rose again. But then the revelation of the Apostle Paul was, why did he do that? What does that mean for you and I? How do we apply the crucifixion? How do we apply the cross? How do we apply the resurrection? It's powerful, isn't it? Verse 7, it says here, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now, you are an earthen vessel. I am an earthen vessel. But God here talks about a treasure that we have inside of us. Amen? Part of you is God. Well, I wouldn't say that. Well, do you have the Holy Spirit inside of you? Is Holy Spirit God? Yes. So he's inside of you. Amen. Hallelujah. He's in your spirit, man. So we have this treasure. It's a treasure. What do you do with a treasure? You keep it. You ponder it. You take care of it. Amen. It says that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And Paul said this, and this is the stuff he was going through. We are pressed, hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Amen. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but not destroyed. See, the enemy will try every way he can to defeat you, but he's already defeated. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus. Now, this is so important. We acknowledge the crucifixion. We know what the cross did for us. But the power comes, amen, when we acknowledge the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. Hallelujah. Verse 11 says, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal bodies. Hallelujah. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Now, verse 13, and since we have the same spirit of faith. Now, you're going to hear that a lot when Mark Hankins comes. This is a powerful scripture. We have the same spirit of faith according to what is written. I believed. What did David do? He had to believe that he would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. We have to believe. What does that mean? Get your believer on. That means refuse to doubt. If the enemy tries to plant a seed of doubt in your mind, you've got to say, no, devil. Then the Bible say to cast down imaginations. At everything, we take into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. But a lot of times we'll meditate on those thoughts that the enemy puts in our minds. That it's not going to work out. I'm not going to get better. And you'll begin to daydream. But see, those are thoughts we are to pull down and take captive. Amen? That's a strong word. Pull them down. Yank. I will not think that way. I'll not think that way. Amen. Because I have the same spirit of faith according what is written. John Osteen, Joel's dad, used to say, you got to find out what's written. Amen. You got to find out in this book what's written. And if it says it's written, isn't that what Jesus, how he defeated the devil in the wilderness? It is written. It is written, devil. It is written. So when you have pain attack your body, say, it is written, devil, that by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Amen. Hallelujah. When you get an unexpected bill, hey, it is written. My God supplies all of my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And by the way, devil, I am a tither, and God rebukes you. And the windows of heaven are opened over me. Malachi, you want to read it, devil? See, right there in the Bible. Right there. King James Version, New International, whatever version you can understand. I don't know what he understands. Amen. But it's right there. It is written. So that's the same spirit of faith. And it says the same spirit of faith is find out where it is written. I believe and therefore what? I spoke it. Hallelujah. Faith is in two places, the heart and in the mouth. Amen. We faith people, we know that, but we don't always practice it, do we? It's one thing to say we have faith, but it's another thing to speak it. No. I'm healed. Hallelujah, the authority. But let's read that scripture, verse 13. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore we speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. Amen. For all things and for your sake, he's talking to the church, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Verse 16, Paul says, therefore, do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet something is happening on the inside. And if something is happening on the inside, it's going to affect the outside. Something on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. That's what it's all about. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. So, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Verse 17, for our light affliction is but for a moment. Doesn't it feel like we're going through something that's going to last forever? I mean, drag, slow motion. When is this thing going to happen? We felt like that in 2020, didn't we? When is this going to hit? They said, well, we'll looking for that curve. We'll do 90 days locked in. We'll wear a mask for so many days. And they kept changing it on us over. Right? So, it's just for a moment. We got to look at that. Just for a moment. It's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While, you know, the New Testament wasn't written in chapters and verses. Okay? So where's the 18? That's a continuous thought there. All right? It says, for our light affliction is just but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory while we do not look at things which are seen. So that means what we're looking at has got to change. What are we to look at, folks? This is a test, a quiz. What are we to look at? The Word. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, what does the Word say about the goodness of God? Amen. Remember David said, I'm looking for the goodness of God in the land of the living. Amen. But it says, while we don't look at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary. And I like what one translation says, subject to change. Things which I see right now is temporary, subject to change. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And I'm telling you, this word is eternal. Amen? God watches over his word to perform it. Real quick, I want to read this in the Message Bible, 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. It says, so we are not giving up. Say, I'm not going to give up. How could we? Even though on the outside, it often looks like things are falling apart on us. But on the inside, where God is making a new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. Not one day will go by without his unfolding grace. These are hard times, or these hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. Amen? There's far more here than meets the eye. The things that we see now are here today and gone tomorrow. But the things that we can't see now will last forever. I like what, you know, Paul said before King Agrippa, none of these things move me. I'm going to rejoice, hallelujah. I'm going to praise the Lord. One last scripture, Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, there is nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of righteousness and justice. I bet you didn't know God was right-handed, huh? Amen. He said he will hold you up with his powerful right hand. And I'm telling you, he's got the whole world in his hand. Amen? I'm not going to sing that for you. All right. Glory. All these songs are coming to me today. I don't know. Hallelujah. It's funny how little songs just come to your mind. And sometimes songs you don't want to come to your mind will come to your mind. And I say, I don't sing those songs anymore. Everyone, I grew up on Christian songs, and some of those I don't want to, you know. Every once in a while, the old song came come up. Farther along, I'll know all about it. Farther along, I'll understand why. You know, and Donna said, get that faith. That's not a faith song. I said, okay, all right, I'll stop singing. You know, it just comes up, and I just sing it, you know. One of those songs we used to sing. The Bible says we know what God's going to do. We know, you know, we don't have to wait around. We're not unsure what, bless God, what. I don't know what, I just don't know what God's going to do. But the Bible says he's revealed to them those things to us by his Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. So we don't sing those songs anymore. Stand with me this morning. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's lift up our hands and praise God. I don't care what you're going through in the midst of battle. Some of you are going through some stuff. But rejoice. Rejoice. Have that same spirit of faith. Find out what the Bible says. Hallelujah. You have victory. You have victory right now. Not going to have. You have victory. Praise God. You have healing. Rejoice. We need to have a heart of gratitude and thankfulness. All the time. How do you get God to do more things? Just thank him. Just thank him. Father, I thank you for the little things. I thank you for the big things. I thank you that I was able to wake up this morning. Oh, glory to God. Just being grateful for all things. Some of you know who Keith Moore is. He said when he was younger in ministry, him and his wife, they suffered lack and so on and so forth. And he went to God, and he was pastoring. He was in Kenneth Hagin Ministries teaching healing school, and they're going through things, and he went to God, and he fasted, and he prayed, and said, God, what's wrong? I'm tithing, I'm giving, I'm sowing seed, I'm doing all of these kind of things, and God said, you're not grateful, and you know what, it didn't take him long. He said, it didn't take me very long. I went outside and started thanking God for the branches on the trees. Everything I saw, I began to thank God for. God, I just thank you. I thank you. Just for everything. And you know, it turned things around. It released the blessing in his life. Amen. Because God is good and his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads this morning. If you're here and you have never known the goodness of God, well, you have to receive Jesus into your heart and into your life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe on him, whosoever means me, and means you, that you would have everlasting life. And folks, you need Jesus in the day that we live in. You need him to be your Savior and your Lord. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. There's none righteous, no, not one. But you know what? When we receive Christ, he gives us his righteousness. Praise God. Right standing with the Father. So I want you to pray this prayer with me. We're all going to pray this prayer. And the Bible says if you pray, if you believe in your heart and you confess it with your mouth, you shall be saved. So let's say this prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning and I thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. And now, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. And I thank you for it right now, that I'm now saved. I'm now born again. I'm a new person in Jesus' name.